You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
This Father's Day, we're speaking to blind and partially sighted dads to hear about their experiences of parenting. Callum Stoneman became a father in July 2024 when baby James arrived. Callum joins me now. Well, congratulations, Callum. You're coming up to 1 year as a father, and this will be your first Father's Day as a dad.
I know. I can't believe nearly a year has gone by. That's terrifying, to be honest.
Has it gone fast?
Oh, it's flown, honestly. I mean, it's his first birthday coming up, and you know, it genuinely doesn't feel like 2 minutes, especially the way they just grow so fast. I mean, like we saw some videos the other day, actually. You know, when you get on your phone, you get the little memories pop up and the like little photos and videos. And we found some videos that we'd taken when he was a couple of months old, like 2 or 3 months old. And just the difference in his voice, you know, the little noises that he's making, and he's starting to kind of say a few more words now. So yeah, it's just things like that kind of hit you. You don't realise how much has changed.
So it's been very nearly a year now. Has it been what you expected? Did you know what to expect, I suppose, ahead of time?
Not really. I mean, I knew. So we've got friends and family who became parents maybe about a year before us. So I knew what to expect in terms of that it was going to be life-changing. But I didn't really know, you know, what that meant. Because I think when you speak to other parents, or when you see other parents, you only really see a snapshot. You know, you never see living with a baby 24/7, and you hear about all the crying and the sleepless nights and all that kind of stuff, but actually living it, in a lot of ways it has been what I expected, in other ways it really hasn't. We had some challenges with James when he was younger, like he was ill quite a bit, so he had quite bad reflux. We thought that he might have had a milk allergy, but that turned out not to be the case. It was just reflux, and that only really goes away with time. But that meant that for the first maybe about 4 or 5 months, he was, you know, very difficult, very unsettled, because he was constantly in pain, and that didn't really go away until we started moving him on to more solid foods. And then not long after that, he got a chest infection, which affected him quite badly, and that sort of thing you don't think about. You never consider that side of it. So it's not been what I expected in terms of that, because you never really plan on how to deal with that. You think, oh yeah, you know, crying, that's fine, we can deal with that. Sleepless nights, yeah, okay, well, fine, we'll get used to it. You stock up on nappies, you stock up on milk, you know, you do all these things, but you don't think about the reality side of it, I guess. You know, the 24/7 kind of side.
Yeah, 24/7 indeed. You talk about how, I suppose, life has changed around you. How do you think fatherhood has changed you personally?
I think being a parent, it makes you want to better yourself in a lot of ways. It makes you want to push yourself even more. I mean, you know, now it kind of feels like there's someone who's looking up to you, you know, and you want to just be the best you can, really. And I think it's just encouraged me to do more and to just kind of do everything that I can, really, and have the confidence to do more and to push myself more, I guess.
Well, it's fair to say that you're a big fan of accessible technology. Callum, we know you as the host of Tech Talk here on RNIB Connect Radio. How does technology play a role in your parenting, or does it play much of a role?
Not as much as I thought, to be honest. When Jess, my wife, was pregnant, I was looking at all sorts, and I was thinking, yeah, you know, there's going to be all sorts of tech that can help out here. And a lot of parents, particularly the older parents, if you like, you know, my parents and Jess's parents were kind of, I think they were a bit like, nah, just the good old-fashioned methods are fine, what are you doing? And that kind of has been the case, actually. I think the biggest bit of tech, and it's not particularly accessible tech, although it is an accessible device, without doubt the most useful bit of tech has been the prep machine for doing bottles. So that's a little machine where it does the right amount of water for you, for the bottles. It's basically a water dispenser, but, you know, designed for doing bottles. So all you have to do there is just put in the amount of scoops for the formula that's required. So if you're doing a 4 ounce bottle, for example, you'd do 4 scoops. If you're doing a 6 ounce, you'd do six scoops of formula, put that in your bottle, and then turn the dial on the machine, which is a really nice, you know, clicky, accessible dial. You can very clearly feel where it is. You turn that up to the same number and just press the button, and it will dispense the perfect amount of water at the perfect heat and everything. So that just means you don't have to mess about kind of boiling the kettle and then trying to pour the boiling water in and work out where the measurements are. I think even sighted people struggle to see the measurements on the bowls, certainly the ones that we've got. So that has made life easier. Other than that, I don't think there's been a huge amount, to be honest. We do have a smart baby monitor, which sends us notifications if it detects him crying, which can be quite useful because sometimes if you're downstairs, you might not always hear it. And that's pretty good. The specific one that we've got, which is the Cubo baby monitor, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it if you're blind. The app is not very accessible, but you can turn the camera on when you put him down. You can get the notifications. So it does the job. And then the other kind of fancier stuff that it does, my wife can control that. So yeah, it works for us, but it's not the best. But apart from that, there hasn't really been a huge amount, to be honest.
It's funny that you say that the old methods seem to be the best. It seems to be that those sorts of things get handed down from generation to generation, and that's what ends up being the tried and tested methods.
Yeah, yeah.
Has being a dad made you think about your sight loss differently?
Yeah, in some ways. So I've never been someone who is particularly comfortable with my blindness. Like I hear a lot of people who are really, really happy being blind, really comfortable with it, and even people who are proud to be blind or visually impaired, I hear that quite a lot, especially nowadays. And I mean, all respect to them, but I'm just not that sort of person. You know, if I could change this tomorrow, then I would. But at the end of the day, you can't change it, so you've just got to crack on. And I know it might sound a bit harsh when you put it like that, but that's just the reality, you know, and that's my way of thinking about it. So I think it's kind of amplified. I mean, parenting is an emotional roller coaster anyway, but I think it's there's even more emotions going on when you're blind, or certainly there has been for me, you know. And it's little things, you know. You could be having a really good day, things are going really well, and then for some reason, whatever reason, you could spend 20 minutes trying to just change a nappy and get him dressed. In the meantime, he's kicking off because, you know, he's like, what are you doing? Just, you know, stop messing with me. So you could spend ages doing that and it just not going well, even though you've done it before. Something's happening and it's just not going right. And then someone else comes in to help you out and does it in 30 seconds. And you just kind of go back down. You sort of question it, you know, can I do this? And then half an hour later, he could be, you know, really, for whatever reason, not settling with Jess. So then I take him off and, you know, take over and manage to get him to sleep and get him down in his cot. So then you're kind of back to, well, do you know what? I did all right there. So I think it's just, there's just so many emotions going on. The other side of it, though, and I think this is more positive, is I find it kind of fascinating that to him, dad being blind is just going to be normal because he's always grown up with that. Like for me, you know, no one else in my family is blind. I knew some blind people at school growing up, but not that many really, not as many as I do now. So blindness, I've always been, it's never been a, you know, put across to me as a negative thing, but it's never been, I've always known that it's not normal. But for James, it is going to be. And something that really drove that point home, I was listening to a podcast a while ago, someone talking on and on parenting, and they were kind of similar situation to me. You know, they were blind, they had a sighted partner, sighted kids, because James is fully sighted. And he was talking about, he was reading a book with his daughter once when she was young, and in the book there was a picture of a dad reading to his child, and she said, hang on, that's not right, that dad's not reading Braille. And to her, like, mummy's read print, daddy's read Braille, that's just how the world worked. And I do kind of find that slightly fascinating, really. I'm looking forward, in a way, to seeing how he's going to react to that, because that's just going to be his norm.
So we're coming up to one full year of fatherhood, but if you could go back a year and give yourself a piece of advice before James was born, what would it be?
I think just try not to put too much pressure on yourself. I mean, as I've just been saying, there's so many emotions going on. It's such a big change, and there's so many things going on, not just for you, but for your partner as well, even more so in some ways. And I think just, it sounds so so cliche, but just take it one day at a time. And also just recognize that you know your baby the best. You know, we had so many advice, particularly with what we thought he was going through with the milk allergy. We had so many people giving us completely different advice on that. Obviously, medical professionals you listen to, but you know, other parents giving advice, and everyone has a different opinion. And similar with his sleeping as well, because he was so unsettled, there was a few nights where we would just stop trying to put him down and we would just put him in our bed, because that meant that he would settle a bit better and we would get enough sleep to actually get through the day. And everyone said, oh, you don't want to do that. You're creating a rod for your own back there. And some people said, I don't know why you keep going to him. Just put him in his cot and leave him. He'll settle eventually. And so many people said that. And we were like, nope, that is not going to work. That is not going to work with James. But then so many people said it, and we tried it. So that we tried it for a couple of days. And sure enough, didn't work. He might have got about 20 minutes, but he just screamed the rest of the night. And it was very much like, look, I told you so. He's too stubborn. Don't know which one of us he gets that from. But he's too stubborn for that to work. And we knew that. And, you know, sure enough, we were right. So there's all sorts of advice being thrown around. And of course, you know, take some of it if you want to, but just recognize that you're the parents. You know yourselves as a couple, what you can manage, you know, because there'll be some roles that you're better at than others. And, you know, the other way around, there'll be some roles that are more suitable for your partner. And again, that's not a blindness thing. That's just a general parent thing. But also, you're your baby's parents. You know them best.
Is there anything you'd say to someone who is maybe thinking about starting a family in the future, but maybe had some reservations? Did you have reservations before sort of getting all of this underway?
Yeah, quite a lot. And I can't even point them to a specific thing. You know, it was the main reservation I had was just, well, how would I manage? Because there's so many visual aspects to it. And actually, what I would say is that it's not as visual as you would think. You know, there are quite a few ways of doing things. And one thing that we did, which is probably going to sound strange, but while Jess was pregnant, one of the things that we did was get one of these, like a doll, essentially. Preferably ones that come with like the little clothes things, because then things like getting them dressed, you could practice it. And it's not the same thing as, it's not the same as a baby who's screaming and kicking their legs around and, you know, trying to crawl away from you, which is what he starts doing at the minute. But it gets you the theory, you know, it gets you the technique of how to put a vest on, how to fasten up baby clothes, because that's something that still gets me sometimes, especially the all-in-one kind of clothes. You've got buttons going all over the place, you know, and it's not the same thing. It probably, I mean, I was cringing quite a bit when we started doing that, because it's just, I don't know, it just feels weird. But it did work. It did really, really help me, because then when he did come along and I had to get him dressed, I at least had an idea of how was best to do it, rather than trying to, I mean, you're always learning on the job, but it wasn't quite as overwhelming, I think, as it could have been. And talk to other parents. That's the biggest thing, I think. Speak to other parents. There are, if you look on Facebook, and there might be some on other places as well, there are blind parents groups. So, you know, join them. A lot of them you can post anonymously if you want to. So join them and try and ask for advice there. Speak to other parents, because, I mean, I know people who have had two or even three kids, and, you know, they manage. So there's all sorts out there and support places you can go.
Was that your first stop? You mentioned that people in your family, you don't have lived experience of sight loss, so maybe didn't have sort of some of the specific answers that you may have been looking for. Was it social media and the internet that you went to first, or were there people in your life who you then spoke to with for some maybe some advice?
It was a bit of both for me. So I had some friends who were partially sighted, I would say, and they'd recently become parents, so they could offer me some advice. Obviously, I've got no vision at all, so they had a bit more vision than me, but I don't think it was much. You know, I don't think it really, the level of vision that they had, I don't think it made too much difference. So that was quite useful. But other than that, yeah, it was just social media, especially for the things that I was talking about earlier, like the things that you just don't think about. You know, there is a lot that you don't consider. Like one of the things was, because of the reflux, he was put on some special milk for a while, and it was really, really thin, like just a really like runny kind of liquid. So it meant that when I was trying to feed him, it was just going everywhere. And the first thing I did was just go onto the blind parents group and just ask, like, has anyone had to deal with this, and how do you do it? Because the first time I tried to feed him, it dribbled that much down him that we had to get him changed. And I thought, okay, I can't be doing that. We go through enough outfits as it is. So it was, you know, good for things like that. You know, again, you don't consider that at the time.
I'm thinking about the future, Callum. Lots to look forward to for fatherhood.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything you're apprehensive about?
I mean, he's started walking now. And I think he's started to learn that I can't see him. And at the minute, if he's going somewhere that he shouldn't do, like we caught him climbing the stairs the other day, so we'll have to get a stair gate now. But at the minute, he gives himself away. If I get a feeling he's going somewhere that he maybe shouldn't, or playing with something that he shouldn't, he kind of runs away from me, or crawls away from me, like puts a little boost on to get away from me. But he gives himself away by laughing. But when he learns, eventually when he learns that I can't see him and to stay quiet, I don't know what he's going to be up to. But now, seriously, I'm a little bit apprehensive about... One of the things I've not really done yet is been out and about on my own with him. You know, like, say, getting out for a walk or taking him somewhere by myself. And that's not really been intentional. It's just if we have gone somewhere, me and my wife have taken him, or we've gone with family. But obviously there are times where we're just about to move somewhere that's closer to his nursery, so it'll be in walking distance. And we've done that deliberately so that I can go and pick him up independently, which is not something I can do at the minute. So I can pick him up and drop him off and stuff. And I'm a little bit apprehensive about that, you know, going out and about on my own with him, particularly when he can walk. But again, we'll cross that when we come to it. And, you know, hopefully by that point, when he's walking that sort of distance, he'll be able to talk a bit more, or at least communicate a bit more. So again, I think we'll just have to kind of go with it. You know, maybe there'll be more questions for the blind parent forums when that time comes along.
And as we head towards Father's Day, Callum, for you, what's the best thing about being a dad?
I think honestly, it's just watching him grow, like seeing the change in James, and seeing his little personality come out, and seeing the things that he enjoys doing. And personality wise, I'm starting to see a bit of both of us in him, you know, traits of me and traits of Jess. And it already feels so rewarding, you know, just seeing this little person develop.
Are there any of those resources, Callum, that you did find helpful that you would sort of suggest people go off and take a look at, whether that's online or sort of through the NHS or through RNIB even?
On the RNIB website somewhere, there is a a guide for VI parents, which has some pretty useful tips. I didn't really find much from the NHS, but that VI parents guide is really good. That gives you a few pointers for all aspects, really. So it starts off with things to consider during the pregnancy and doing, you know, right down to kind of ways you can do pregnancy tests, which obviously doesn't apply if you're the dad, but there's all sorts in there. And then the other things, really, the best things that I can suggest are just being able to, just using those Facebook groups or those social media groups and just talking to other parents, because there's no manual for being a parent and there's certainly no manual for being a blind parent. So getting that lived experience really is the best way, I would say.
Callum Stoneman, enjoy your first Father's Day as a dad, and thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.